Welcome to our guests. We're glad you're here. If you have any questions, who wants to volunteer to answer them? It's been a good morning. God really wants us to understand our value. I think all of us, all too often, I'll speak for myself, but I think it applies to most of us, struggle with whether we really have value in the kingdom. And I think God wants all of us to know, yes. 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 And I can go on and on because He just adores us. You know, I often have this picture of, for myself and other people, that, you know, God's up there sitting on His throne and Jesus is standing at His right hand, as it talks about in the Scriptures. And then all of a sudden, God just elbows Jesus in the side. What? You mean they do stuff like that? They have sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. And He points down at somebody and says, "Look at that. Aren't they amazing? That's my son. My daughter. My child. One that I've adopted. One that I've chosen. One that I sent you and you willingly went to the cross for." That's how He sees us. If you're feeling like you're not worth something or whatever, it's just Satan beating us up. That's just how it is. Just how it is. Well, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And hopefully I can see my notes because of my iPad, which I dropped last Sunday night. But we're at the end of the part that has to do with the full armor of God. So, Father, I pray that You would just be with us, that You would take the wax out of our ears, that You would give us attention, and that we would hear You and what You have to say for us. And Father, I just pray that You speak through me. And all, as always, I ask, Lord, that that which is of You that I speak forth would pierce our hearts, and that which is not of You would fall on the floor before us. Because we want to hear You. We want to grow in You. We want to know You, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. So, we're at Ephesians 6, 17b, reading from the ESV. "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." See, the body armor that we have looked at so far, the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the helmet, even the shield, they're all defensive weapons. They're all designed to protect us from the attacks of the enemy. And now we've come to the sword of the Spirit, which in some ways you could say is a defensive weapon, but it's more of an offensive weapon. It's a weapon that we need to take up and we need to use to attack the enemy. And when we go on the offense, there's two ways we can use the sword. We can swipe and cut off somebody's head, like the enemies, when we're talking about the spiritual, or we can thrust and stab somebody in the heart like the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And another way you can say that that section 17b is, receive from the Holy Spirit the Word of God, which will be like a sword. The offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, was given to us for one purpose: to defeat the enemy. That's what the Bible is. It's our answer to everything. It's our answer to the lies, to the temptations, to the deceptions, to the accusations that Satan just so gets into throwing at us. Anybody here besides me ever received one of those from Satan? Two of us. I want to talk to the rest of you and find out what I'm doing wrong. But he's given us this offensive weapon. Hebrews 4:12 says this: "For the word of God is living," which the offensive weapon is the word of God, "is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." If it sounds like I'm stuttering a little bit, the reason being is my glass is not exactly clear because I dropped it in response to somebody giving me a hug. The Word of God, the Bible, is living. It's not dead. It's not even close to dead. It's not even thinking about death. You know, it's what Moses received on Mount Sinai, a living word, as it says in Acts 7:38. He received living oracles to give to us. You know, some say that our Constitution is a living document. There's all kinds of discussions going on and arguments about it today. I personally believe it is, but I say that not so much to point to the Constitution, but I say that because its living life is nothing compared to the living Word of God. The living Word of God trumps the Constitution and everything and anything. And there's one simple reason: because the Word of God is eternal. And it can do something that nothing else can do. It can turn death into life. Which, if you're following Jesus, you've experienced that. He's turned death that you were walking in into life, which you are now walking in. 1 Peter 1:23, the ESV: "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." See, through God's living Word, death in us was transformed into life. And you can call that when we were born again. And it's also, God's Word is also not only alive, but it's active. And that word "active" in the scriptures there says, it can be expressed in a variety of ways. It could be, say, has power. It can do things. It accomplishes whatever it is intended to accomplish. It's effective and powerful. Simon Kistemacher says this: "God's Word is energizing in its effect. No one can escape that living and active Word. No one." See the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? We chose not to escape it. We chose to embrace it. We chose to walk into our Savior's arms and to say, "I can't do it." But there's unfortunately many people who are trying to escape it. God's Word, when it was spoken, brought forth creation in us, and it recreated us because we were dead to transgressions and sins, into a person that's alive in Christ. We were dead because of sin and transgressions. So it's not difficult to see how the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, can easily defeat our enemy's attacks. See, the message of God, the message that keeps coming through the Bible, is when it's used properly and it's spoken properly, is like a sword. It's like this sword that, and it's the Holy Spirit that we can speak forth His Word. You know my story when I was just a young believer, and you know, my mom, you know, was, for the benefit, don't know the story, when I was busted for drugs, my mom said, "Oh, he's just growing up. It's just part of growing up in life." I'm sure all you parents would say that, right? And but when I became a Christian, she freaked out. So she called in the Mormons. And I was able to use that word to defeat what they were trying to do. Now it was the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know the Bible that well. But he kept giving me scriptures that I didn't even know were there. And I'd go, oh, well, it says over in Ephesians 3:7. And I'd go, where'd that come from? Because I really didn't know about the Holy Spirit at that point. And so I'd open it up and go, wow, that really applies to what we're talking about. You know, I think he has a little scripture that says, don't worry about what you say in those days. But it's like a sword, the Word of God. But not like any old sword, like the one that's up there now. Okay, that's what the Romans used. You can see where the two hands would fit on it. But a two-edged sword. But then it goes on and says, yet it's sharper than any two-edged sword. See, back in the days when these scriptures were written, there was no sword that was more powerful or dangerous than that two-edged sword. But when we understand that speaking forth the Word of God, this offensive weapon we have to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that it can do more damage than that. And I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that. See, the Word of God, as it said, can pierce to and divide soul from spirit, joints from marrow, while also discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And let me boil it down to this. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, can easily separate truth from lies. And the enemy is all about lies. He cannot speak the truth. He can disguise it. He can make you feel like when he's talking to you that he's speaking the truth to you. And he can even look like light at times. One of the scriptures in the Bible says he can come as an angel of light. But it's still a lie. But he can't fool us if we understand the Word of God. It enables us. The sword of the Spirit enables us to discern the lies from the truth and to use it to defeat the lie. So it just begs the question, what makes the sword of the Spirit so sharp? I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And his ability to use the Word of God, which is truth, which is the antithesis of all lies, to help us to walk the walk, to run the race, so that we can defeat the enemy. So let's look at the Holy Spirit a bit. I'm going to use a scripture that I used last Sunday night at Pentecost service over there, but I'm going to massage it a little, but it's a great verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:5-7, excuse me, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. Again, this gives us some insight into the Holy Spirit and the purpose that he was sent. Was it in John 15, 16, somewhere around there, where it said Jesus was going to send him an advocate. One of the reasons is to bring the church power. See, the gospel that Paul brought, and everybody else that brings it, it's not just brought in words, it's brought in power. In the Greek word there is dunamis, which means power, strength, might, and wonder. See, what Paul said was very important. What Peter said was very important. What others said was very important. But the power that the Holy Spirit brought and came as they spoke forth the oracles of the living God, that brought conviction. In what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians, but also in what Peter said at Pentecost. I mean, look at Acts 1:8a. But you will receive power, and it's the same Greek word, dunamis, with Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what happened when that power came? Thousands of people got saved. It says 3,000 men, but there were women, there were children. We really don't know how many were saved. There were thousands upon thousands of people were saved because Peter gave this message, which was a good message. But it was the Holy Spirit that convicted, that cut people's hearts, that pierced people's hearts, that caused those thousands and thousands of people to turn to the Lord. So I ask you a question. Do we need the Holy Spirit today? Yeah. My response to that is, duh.
Every day.
I mean, Terry Baker, get off on this illustration. Can you imagine a car without an engine? It won't go anywhere. Now, I dream of a Chevelle with a 427 in it. And I don't care whether it has three deuces or two quads. But it'll have progressive linkage. If you don't know what I'm saying, talk to Terry. He understands all this stuff. Positive traction rear end. But talk about power. You know, board out, proper cam, all the things that just will make it go with great power, right? I know you're a Mustang guy, and you'll just have to forgive me here. The Holy Spirit is the one that lights the fire in our hearts. He's the one that gives the power to what the church, and you know how we define the church, it's us. So it's us individually, but also us collectively. What you and I say and what you and I do. He brings the power. He brings the strength. He brings the might and wonder. He is the power. He is the strength. He is the might. He is the wonder. He is the heavenly life given to the church. We need power. And because we have that power available to us, that is needed to fully operate as the church was designed, that we can do this as the church was designed by the Godhead. Not just the power of the two-edged sword, but something even greater that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. And I'm not sure we ever will before we leave this earth, before he returns. Second thing that those scriptures point out is it gives assurance that the scriptures are true and can be trusted. Let me say this very clearly. The scriptures are true. They are the oracles of God. And when you get right down to it as a believer, we really have no choice but to believe that they all are the Word of God. Now, why do I say that? If you find one scripture, whether it be Habakkuk 1:2, 1 Peter 3:6, Genesis 5:7, whatever, that you don't believe is the Word of God, it puts all the others in suspect. Because if that one's wrong, how can you say the rest are right? So, you know my story. I got saved. I have this Bible that my heathen girlfriend gave to me as a heathen. And I still don't understand why she did that, but she did. Yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. Boy, did I need it. And I carried it around for probably 3 or 4 years. It was always in my sea bag because I was in the Navy at the time. I just pack in my sea bag. I just knew I needed to take it with me. But the reason I did that was because of the Holy Spirit. He was convicting, he was directing, he was talking to me even before I became a believer. He gave me the assurance that this Word of God, when I picked it up and looked at it, he gave me the assurance that this Word was true and was worth dying for. And that there was nothing in there that wasn't true. And as I did that, unknowingly, I was declaring what we're talking about, that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Knowing it's true, we then know we have the guidance we need to follow God, to live a godly life, to walk forth and speak what he tells us to speak, to do what he tells us to do, to run the race that he has set before us. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is there with us and that we have the sword of the Spirit, even during the hard times. So we can even walk through the suffering, those momentary and light afflictions. That's when I want to redact in black. I haven't. Just being honest. 2 Corinthians 4:17, the Lexham English Bible. For our momentary light afflictions. I mean, look at Paul. He's the one that wrote that about their momentary light afflictions. This is a guy that was stoned. He received 39 lashes. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked and other things, being in danger of a number of things, and all of those multiple times. And yet he says these are momentary and light afflictions. Because the Word of God is bigger than those. The Word of God is speaking forth to our Father who is there with open arms waiting with us, who's excited for the day. I really believe that every moment that a follower of Jesus dies, that the Father is right there to greet them. Don't ask me to give you a scripture. That's just my personal belief. Because I believe he loves us that much and he's so excited for us. People would ask me, why would God take a woman like Suella when she was so gifted at the age of 39, just by a few months? And you know what I came up with? God was jealous for her. And guess what? God's jealous for each and every one of you. Her race was over. Ours is still being run. But he will be there and he will greet you with open arms. I really believe that. Another reason for Holy Spirit is so that we might be example to believers. See, we need to be Aaron's and hers to each other. We need to come along. There's been so many times in my life where I needed somebody to come alongside me and hold up my arms because I was hurting. Or something was going on, or just going through a rough time. And every time, God sent people to encourage me, to hold up my arms. I remember one time when I was going a particularly hard time, a person showed up at my house. It was before I was married to Chris. A person showed up at my house, and he said to me, God told me he wants me to come over and sit with you. And we sat down in my living room and said nothing. And I'm sure he was praying, but he just sat there. And every once in a while we'd exchange a smile. And then after a while, and I don't know how long it was because I didn't time it, he says, God's done with what he was doing. And he left. And I had a smile on my face. Did not say a word other than what I just told you. Nada. but he was holding up my arms. He was there with me. I believe this world desperately, desperately needs his church to walk out and to start holding up people's arms, to start just being there, to start encouraging, to start strengthening. It needs it. It needs his church, us, to go, just to be with people and to love them and to show them faith, to show them grace, to show them mercy, to show them joy, all the things that come from God. See, God, the world, and I've seen this with my heathen group that I meet with on Tuesdays, so many of them think God is, you need to get your life together. I am so disappointed. Verse what he had to say to Terry and how he is so proud of her. He is, Terry. He is so proud of you. And whenever the enemy lies to you, just spit in his face. You can get a cloth and wipe it off whatever happened to hit. It's okay. Jesus gave us the ability to do all of this by his grace, by his love, and by his longing for his body to be formed and to change the world. The only hope that this world has is Christians. I'm tired of discussions about we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, what we need to do is repent for taking prayer out of the Bible, out of the schools. What we need to do is repent by trying to push God into some corner, someplace, under the guise of separating the church from the state. I still don't understand how people interpret it that way, because when I read it, it says to me that the government needs to stay out of the church. But it's just the lies of the enemy. God has called us to do that, but guess what? He didn't leave us alone. He didn't just throw us out there like I thought for so long. You know, he saved me, and then he went off to the big Jamaica in the sky, and I was there to try and figure it all out. No, but he left the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit, an advocate or a helper that will always be with us, as it talks about in John 14. And I will ask the Father, I said 15 before, I correct myself, it's 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, which means helper, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. When you become saved, he is in you. And that word, advocate, parakletos, means helper, intercessor, defender, comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will always be there to help us, who will always be there to guide us and lead us in all truth, as it says in John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. I can summarize that by saying, Holy Spirit only speaks the truth that the Father tells him, that Jesus tells him. Because they're three in one in three. They are so knit together that that's all he's going to speak. And he'll do it all the time, whether we're in times of peace or we're times of some kind of war or stress or whatever is going on. That's what makes the sword of the Spirit so powerful. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can beat the truth. The truth, capital T. Not Satan, not the world, not your flesh, not any lie. Nothing can defeat it. It doesn't matter what all of the world might throw at you. You have the most powerful things at your fingertips to speak forth the truth, which defeats the enemy. Because the words that the Holy Spirit speaks are truth, just as the Father speaks. Which is important because the Holy Spirit speaks the same as the Father, as I said a few moments ago. The Holy Spirit will tell us. This is what Jesus said. This is what the Father said. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And He's there within us. We receive Him at salvation. John 16:13 says, He, which is Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. We should want, to take up and always keep with us the sword of the Spirit, to understand that we have that with us, because our enemy will come. And he'll lie to us. He'll try to divert our attention away from the things of God. He'll, you know, with temptation, lies, deceptions, accusations, whatever else he wants to throw at us. But we have nothing to fear when we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Because we have the power of God. We have the truth of God. We have the Word of God. We have Holy Spirit. The question is, will we grasp it? Will we get into His Word? Will we think about it? Will we meditate on it? Will we turn it over and over in our mind, examining it to see what the truth is? Because it is the truth. And it's what the church needs today. So powerfully, so much. And when I say church, I'm talking again about both individually and collectively. We need that power. We need everything that God gives to us to go forth into this world and to show forth the glory and the salvation of God. So that we would be that church that is full of love, peace, joy, and everything that God has blessed us with. Even in very difficult situations. I mean, this almost seems like a diversion, a sidestep, but it's really true. Have you ever asked your question, why do bad things seem to happen to good people? I don't have the answer. In fact, I've asked that question many times. But I do know this. That those who choose to walk in the truth during hard times will do well. They'll grow. Because the truth is always the truth, even in bad times. And He uses it during those times to draw them closer to God. You know, it's like, does God heal? That's another duh. Does He deliver? Yes. Does He do good things? Of course He does. And yes, He doesn't like seeing His children suffer. Yet at the same time, what He is most interested in, is us having this intimate, passionate, close relationship with Him. To where we see Him as our best friend, to where it is more powerful than even your closest natural family relationship or your closest friendship, because He is so important. I believe He will allow things to happen at times to be pure, for us to be purified. 1 Peter 1:6-7, reading from the New Living Translation. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. See, walking through now, why Paul can say they're momentary and light afflictions is because he's not looking at just now. He's looking at our life. And our life, when you take into it eternity, you can't make a dot small enough to depict our life now. You just can't. Because our eternity with him is so vast. I mean, it's trillions of years to the trillions power to the trillions power to the trillions power, and try and figure that one out. I actually sat down once and tried. Because it wasn't real bright. I mean, there were zeros going forever. And God wants us, even in the midst of those times where there may be some negative stuff going on, some trials, some persecutions or whatever, however you want to define it, he still has called us to go forth building the kingdom of God. And he still has equipped us with everything we can, because he's serving us. He's reaching out to us. He's given us everything, including victory. He's not allowing those momentary light afflictions to stop us. Instead, leaning on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit, if the worship team wants to come back up. See, we always have to follow the Lord. We always have to follow the Holy Spirit, just like John Baptist did, just like Paul did, just like Stephen did, even what Jesus did. With Jim Elliot, remember last time I talked about Jim Elliot, he was the one who was martyred down in Ecuador. Like people in this room have. And numerous others have. Speaking forth always God's word. Crying out to Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me. See, he's going to lead us into the truth. We must walk in a manner that honors the Father, honors the Son, and releases the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because as we do, no matter what's going on, we won't walk in fear, but we will walk in joy. And we will walk with the understanding that we have won. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without him. That's just the facts. We receive him as salvation, but there's others, fillings, baptisms, whatever word you want to use, I don't really care. I mean, John the Baptist said, one comes after me who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. So I want to take a few moments and think about if we need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, even if we need the gift of tongues. And if you want more of his power, if you want a new filling of the Holy Spirit, because I believe that after the initial filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need additional fillings of the Holy Spirit. I believe that day when I was acting like I was acting, God, the Holy Spirit was there with me. When I was pulling those scriptures out that I didn't even, quite honestly, didn't know existed. I believe it was the Holy Spirit that's been with me on many different parts. in my life. And then the prayer language is just part that is just absolutely fantastic. So, if you want more than you have, come forth and we'll pray for you. Somebody will come pray with you. Because you keep hearing the prophetic words like we heard this morning, like what Hannah shared. We can't do it by ourselves. God has given us some great friends and some Aarons and Hurs to hold up our arms, but we need the Holy Spirit. And so, if you want more of Him, just come forward and somebody will pray with you.